Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retained search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, and it's a pleasure always to welcome my broadcast partner, Marlis Hansen, from SEMA International, based out of California. How are you this morning, Marlis?
Just fine, thank you. And you?
I couldn't be better. I think I'm running in multiple directions, which is usually a good sign. Well, you know, often on the show, Marlis, you and I collaborate at talking about individuals' motivated gifts and abilities in the context of change. And I think you and I, as we talked about, we wanted to actually offer our listeners some insights of change can mean just in place, right, within the organization where you are and how to make the most of it, right?
Absolutely. And these days, that's where a lot of it's happening. And so it's really good to be really keyed into that strategy. You know, what can you do where you're at?
Yeah. And in fact, though, really look for and be deliberate about experiences that can broaden your skills as well as give you some needed visibility for advancement.
Right. And as you know, the research on the organization's expectations for employee career development show that the way employees sustain their value to an organization is by amassing kind of the experiences and the skills that the organizations really value.
Right.
So it's important, you know, not only to be doing something, but of course to be doing something that's going to really add value to your organization.
And probably if you can do it in such a way that's ahead of the curve of maybe not just anyone else in your current organization, but also kind of, as they say, you try to hit where the puck is going to be, not where that it is,
right,
to get it through the right net.
To be looking ahead and then also to think about doing things that are sort of general enough so that they're applicable in a variety of situations.
That's very good, so you don't get yourself pigeonholed. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you had come upon this really interesting piece of research that showed 8 key experiences, and I think it'd be important for us to share this with the audience because you might be surprised what's not on this list. In some regards, some of the classic things that people think, oh, I have to do this, like go get an MBA or an advanced degree, that is not on this list.
Or participate in cost-cutting measures, or you know, that's pretty common these days, and it certainly gives people the experience, but maybe not the strategic kind of experience that organizations look for.
That's right. Well, I know on the top of the list is the idea of creating and applying leading edge technology.
That just never seems to get old.
Yeah.
You know, and of course it's different in different industries in terms of how relevant the leading edge technology is. But, you know, we did some work here a while ago with an organization of janitors, and they had a commercial cleaning business. And one might think, you know, how much leading edge technology could there be there? But when we got right down to it, that the competitive edge for that company was in the products and the equipment that they were using. The people just really needed to be, you know, have the experience, have the knowledge, know how to use and apply and so forth of the leading edge technology in commercial cleaning.
Isn't that really relevant? Let alone, I suspect it was also involved in green, you know, chemical-free,
yes,
biodegradable,
very much a part
which
of
is
that.
Relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you should mention that as an example, too. I recalled, the big story about, you know, efficiency and saving time down to minutes, the fact that I believe it was UPS started really watching how their drivers were driving and determined that sometimes the best route to get to a place was only right-hand turns because the vehicles never had to stop.
Sure.
And what you think, well, that doesn't, but, you know, again, leading edge technologies in this case was GPS systems to help them collect that information and know how to apply it.
Right, because GPS might be just taking them the shortest route.
That's exactly right, which might not be the fastest.
Right.
Which may not be the fastest. Okay, yeah. So I think regardless of the industry or the field, that applying relevant technology to your field and where your field is going is so important.
And it is an area where usually there, you know, it's, there's relatively ample resources that, you know, you can find certainly on the internet, you know, the Google searches. You can find conferences for almost any profession, occupation, mm-hmm. you know, industry. You can become, you know, active in the societies that represent these professions, attend technical symposiums, you know, get the information in the webcam or the web seminars. There's just, you know, a lot of ways to stay up to date.
Well, I think and one of them, of course, is as you hire younger employees into your given field, watch what the kids are walking in with.
Yes.
And you better get on board and have them reverse mentor you, you know, to bridge that gap. The second one was so germane to organizations now, regardless of where they play on the planet, is really understanding diverse cultures and markets.
Right. And we often think of diversity only as ethnic diversity, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But what is really, I think, imperative is to think of just diversity in terms of something that's different from what you're currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we talked many times, if you're in sales, maybe you ought to be looking at what's happening in marketing and affiliating with the people and learning the processes and finding out what's going on, you know, in across the street, so to speak, and not assuming that even if you've been in an organization for a number of years that you really are knowledgeable of those different markets or cultures that, you know, are not what you have experienced.
Yeah, so, and of course, you know, organizations that are consumer product-based get this in spades all the time when they decide to now go market their product, you know, in a different country, only to find out that the advertising, when you translated it, isn't what you really want to personify of your brand in that different language.
And they may be doing something, you know, that's really detrimental to their cause, unknowingly, huh?
Yeah, but I think the other side about understanding diverse cultures and markets, of course, you know, for people that live in metropolitan areas that have diverse constituents, that even how you treat your customers when they walk in the door can be different based on the age and demographics, of course, as well as if they're longtime, you know, residents in the community or new to the community, too.
And one of the things that we found, you know, in helping people to find ways to experience these different cultures and even markets, of course, is to go out into their communities and do community service that it might take them into arenas that they just never experienced before.
And give them kind of skills and experience and broaden their horizons that they could apply then on the job.
Right, and anybody can do that. I mean, there's so much need for that kind of assistance that there's the opportunities are endless. I was just reading in one of the achievement stories of the group that we're working with next week, a fellow's story about how he cooked Thanksgiving dinner for a homeless shelter. This is a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just never experienced, and then he sat down and ate dinner with them afterwards, and he said he just never experienced the kind of not only appreciation, but just ability to connect with people with such a different perspective and understand, you know, how you know, their experiences, which one might think would be totally different, were really, you know, in many respects very relevant, you know, just kind of there for the grace of God go I kind of thing, you know.
Exactly. That's beautifully put. The other one that I think a lot of people maybe intuitively know, but I think it'd be worth us spending time, is this idea, and so important, to get opportunities that allow you to lead across organizational lines.
Yes, and we like to say it's not only leading across those lines. We may not be ready, you know, to lead, but we can participate, as well as lead. But certainly the opportunity to lead and to find, you know, experiences where you can integrate systems, you know, across different units, or volunteer to work there on projects that are outside your unit. So again, you get their perspective and to see the cross-functional kinds of issues, address the communications that might, you know, be improved in those kinds of cross-organizational lines. I mean, again, I think the opportunities are endless. And sometimes employees have to sort of tack on these kinds of experiences to their current job. I mean, they may have to do find room for these kinds of things. And people, you know, often say, well, I'm already so busy that I can't find time to do anything else. I can't add these kinds of things, experiences. But what we find, if you choose something, you know, a strategy that really fits what you're motivated to do, something that you really look at as being kind of exciting, you'll find time to do it.
And in fact, it'll find you. And in many regards, you'll be able to do both at the same time. Marla, share with our listeners the fact that your career was predominantly based in a human resources department, right?
Yes. Yes, that's where I started with developing a career development program that all employees were, you know, encouraged to participate in. And we had good success with it in terms of retention and performance improvement and employee engagement. So the associate director of engineering invited me to come work for the engineering department to address some of the issues that they were having attracting and retaining engineers during a very competitive period. And so I left human resources and joined the engineering organization, which, you know, has some risk to it because, of course, you don't have the same kind of career support when you're out of your element and you're competing with very different people, and you end up sort of being out there and no one really understanding how to appropriately evaluate your work. But I must say that the 5-6 years that I was in that role, it was probably one of the best learning experiences that I had, because I got a chance to work right with the line managers and, you know, interview the candidates and be a part of the discussions where they reviewed these candidates and interviewed them and took part in the performance appraisals and watched the career discussions. I mean, there was being one of them rather than viewing it through a screen somewhere, you know.
That's true. I think the other side of it, too, is that through those instances of relationships and traveling with these people and so on, you really developed true social capital and that kind of trust that not just walking in their shoes, but them also bridging to understand what value you could bring to the party.
And understanding how to sort of work with that. And again, it was a different culture.
It is.
The organization was very different than the
You know, my story in this regard, of course, always knowing this vitality when you're bringing new products to market of working across lines was when I asked for a transfer from engineering to manufacturing. And had countless of my peers and my longtime mentors saying I was crazy, that this was going to derail the path I otherwise was on in a traditional engineering sense. And something inside of me said, no, it might be true today, but in the future, this idea of coupling so much closer engineering manufacturing, which of course is why so many of the other competitive firms outside the U.S. have taken strides ahead of, was so important. So taking that risk and saying, you know, I could always go back. But I think probably you and I both, when we took these steps, we still had in our mind what might be the exit strategy, right?
Yep.
You always still knew you could go back if you had to, right?
Or use it to leverage something else, which
exactly
is what I did, is I leveraged it to a consulting service that really worked with primarily engineers and scientists.
Exactly. Or in my case, the decision was made to finally merge engineering and manufacturing. And I was viewed as one of the few that had crossed over and done both, which was a little frightening because I'd only done it for a couple years. But, you know, you ride with it.
Like being ahead of that puck in a way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And some would say, you know, that was fortuitous and it was lucky. But you know what? I was very deliberate in the strategy and took the risk, which is part.
Well, I did too. Because I could see that the hiring and retention and development of these very important technical employees was always going to be a key human resources issue.
Absolutely, a key issue. So our first three then were creating and applying leading edge technology, understanding diverse cultures and markets, leading across organizational lines. And then now the fourth, which, of course, I love because I was always the one that loved to step in the messes, was taking charge of a new or struggling project.
Yes, and that seems to be one that is very good for getting visibility, you know, in all the right places. Of course, I suppose the key is that it isn't too much of a struggle,
exactly,
that you end up with a,
with a
positive outcome and not have too many you know, problems along the way, but it certainly does add to an individual's repertoire of experiences to be able to, you know, describe the kind of contribution they make to a struggling project. Did you have a favorite one that you?
Oh, I could probably go on for hours with those, but you're right. It's the idea you still have to balance the risk with the reward
that
would take it there. You know, back to one of the other ones, this idea of understanding diverse cultures and markets. This also then comes to the fifth point that you also, though, need to know how to lead teams of diverse people.
Yes, and reminiscent of the discussions we've had about working with people who are now the new millennium generation,
yes, yeah,
as well as on the same team, you know, the individuals that are ready to retire,
mm-hmm.
Plus all the baby boomers and the X and Ys in between. I think getting the experience with that range of diversity is a really helpful, you know, experience in building one's value in an organization.
You
because
bet.
They're really, you know, there are certainly many more common traits than there are, uniquenesses. But it just seems to be very savvy policy to be on top of what some of these differences are and be ready to deal with them effectively rather than being surprised or put off or in some way shut down by, when you run into some of these things.
Yes, or afraid of it, indeed.
Right. It's like, remember the saying, what's in it for me? It's becoming very popular, and sometimes the more experienced employees looking at the younger employees thinking, you know, that this is something that is, taking over this idea that where they're looking for what's in it for me. But yet, when you really get down and examine it, I think that's on most employees' minds.
Exactly, right.
The younger employees really don't have any corner on it. It's just probably they may be a little bit more willing to express it and not be, so reticent to put it on the table.
That's exactly right. We talked, item four was taking charge of a new or struggling project, kind of line for line is, and this is a nature of the beast in most organizations, is also being involved then in leading an organizational change.
Right, and plenty of those these days.
You bet.
Right?
And that can be a new product or project as well as a new process. And so that for those of us that are motivated more perhaps in watching the internal workings of the company, you can be just as effective in setting yourself, kind of outside the norm of taking on process management. Number seven, interfacing directly with customers. I mean, that is obviously a common thread in any industry as at the end of the day, really understanding how your product or service gets deployed.
Well, and it can be both internal and external customers,
too. Good point. Good point, yeah.
And I think it's just so helpful and such an eye-opener for individuals to have the opportunity to interact directly with someone who is really using their product or service. And, you know, to spend time learning, the perspective from the other person's point of view and stand in their shoes for a while, and really be able to understand the kind of negotiations and interactions that are necessary. It's something that's just very hard to get out of a book or, with someone just telling you about it. I think is something that's really important to experience.
Experience, exactly. And then the final one, and we've touched on this word already, is the idea of, though, squarely being responsible to manage risk and liability.
Yes, and this seems to be one that is becoming a more complex kind of issue in most organizations. As a matter of fact, you find more people who actually have roles that this is their job to assess the risk and the liability of different kinds of products and services and operations. And so it's sometimes a person, in order to get this experience, but might have to affiliate yourself with that group.
And then, learn it in a closed environment before you go sprout your wings in some regard.
Yes, it's probably the one that is the hardest to just kind of walk out and find an opportunity to have the experience.
Exactly.
That you might have to, work in collaboration with someone who has an official role.
Very good.
But certainly there are educational programs, there are online programs, certainly a lot in the literature that's helping, you know, us to realize that this is an important function in any organization, regardless how large or how small.
Very good. Well, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International, thanks for having that dialogue about strategies for our own development, those key eight. In fact, for anyone interested in getting a copy of this list we've just worked on, send me an email to change@thelarsengroup.com, and we'll get you connected with Marlis and the tools she provides. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon.
Okay.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.